From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Dave DeForest reporting a group of Taliban insurgents attack a building in the Afghan capital, Kabul. Officials say the building housed a special unit of the Afghan security force responsible for protecting government officials. The attack began Tuesday with a suicide bombing at the entrance to the building. Reporter Ayaz Ghul says it was a powerful explosion.
This massive explosion caused a lot of damage to the building, but it was so huge that it was heard across the Kabul city, according to witnesses.
Officials said the ensuing gunfight between the assailants and Afghan security forces left all the attackers dead. At least 30 people were killed, and more than 327 were wounded in the incident. Prospects for a political resolution to Syria's civil war dimmed after the main opposition group pulled back from UN-facilitated talks with the Syrian government. The opposition High Negotiations Committee called on the International Syria Support Group to intervene. Salem Mesled is a spokesman.
We're not walking away from the negotiation. We are really willing to continue the negotiation, but something has to be done on the ground in Syria.
There has been an uptick in fighting since the two sides agreed on a ceasefire. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says airstrikes hit two opposition-held towns Tuesday in northwestern Syria, killing 44 civilians. An Israeli court on Tuesday convicted the man who led the 2014 revenge killing and burning of a Palestinian teenager. The court rejected an insanity plea by Yosef Haim Ben David, saying he was fully aware of his actions at the time of the murder. He is due to be sentenced next month. This is VOA News. Ecuador's president says rebuilding from Saturday's earthquake will cost billions of dollars. Rafael Correa visited the northeastern town of Puerto Viejo on Monday for a firsthand look at the devastation. International and United Nations agencies are mounting a large-scale emergency operation to assist tens of thousands of earthquake victims. Lisa Schlein reports.
The disaster has displaced an estimated 40,000 people, and the number of dead and injured is expected to rise. The earthquake, which struck northeast Ecuador Saturday, had a magnitude of 7.8. The government has declared a state of emergency in six of Ecuador's 24 provinces and has requested international assistance. The worst damage is in the Pedernales area in Manabí province. Aid agencies reportedly are having difficulty in accessing the area because of extensive damage to the roads and infrastructure. Lisa Schlein, Geneva.
Relief workers are struggling to provide emergency aid to thousands of people forced to evacuate their homes after two earthquakes that struck southern Japan last week. Many of the 100,000 evacuees on the island of Kyushu are huddled in makeshift shelters. Ukraine and Russia may have reached an agreement to release jailed Ukrainian pilot Nadzhda Savchenko in an exchange for two Russian officers convicted by a Ukrainian court. Charles Maines reports.
Rumors of Savchenko's possible release came just one day after a Ukrainian court convicted two Russian soldiers on charges of terrorism and conducting war on Ukrainian soil, prompting new speculation over a deal. The Kremlin confirmed President Vladimir Putin and his Ukrainian counterpart, Petro Poroshenko, discussed the prisoner issue during a phone call late Monday. In Kiev Tuesday, Poroshenko elaborated on his talks with the Russian leader, saying they'd produced what he called an algorithm for freeing Savchenko. Charles Maines, Moscow.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry pledged Monday to continue working for a two-state solution for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict during the final 9 months of the Obama administration. During a speech to the Israel advocacy group J Street, Kerry said a two-state path is the only one that will work. New Yorkers are voting Tuesday in presidential nominating primaries. Pre-election surveys show Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump holding strong leads over their challengers. Cuba's Communist Party says 84-year-old President Raul Castro will hold the party's highest post for another 5 years, alongside his chief lieutenant, 85-year-old José Ramón Machado Ventura. The report says the party will chose also its 15-member Politburo, devoid of younger party members. I'm
Dave DeForest.
That's
the latest world news from VOA.